Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a show for the rubes, by the rubes, talking all things Power Trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets, and David, the one and only Power Trip Quotes. They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. This show is in no way, shape, or form sponsored by, affiliated with, or even tolerated by the Power Trip, KFAN, or iHeartMedia. In fact, we'd be willing to bet that Chad Abbott never listens to a single episode. And now, here are your hosts, Chuck and David.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, episode number 5. I am your host, Chuck. You probably know me as Power Trip Bets.
And I am Dave, Power Trip Quotes.
All right, and we have a big show for you today. We're going to do our bets update. We're going to do our quotes update, which is a little bit special this week. And we're also going to have our interview with Tommy Olson, the one and only Tommers. So, big episode. Looking forward to talking to Tommy later on. And just in case Mr. Cove is listening tonight, the Twins did win 8-3 yesterday. So, yeah, as long as they're not playing Kansas City, I think they're world beaters.
All they have to do is get back dreaded KC.
Exactly. Just take them off the schedule and World Series is here we come. So, all right. Well, we'll get to it. We're going to start with the bets update.
Here's this week in Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets, though.
Where's Power Trip Bets when you need him?
Ask Power Trip Bets.
Is Power Trip Bets drunk?
You want to bet?
Ooh. All right, we got one big bet to talk about this week, and that, of course, is the British Open bet. The golf major bets, I think, are some of my absolute favorite ones because it used to be that they would just bet with whoever was in studio. So, you know, the three guys, AJ, you know, maybe Rosie's there, a couple other people. And now it's like appointment radio because everybody, Carly called in from Vegas. Donaldson's rushing into the studio. It's like everybody has to get in on the golf major bets. They had 11 people for this bet, and that's not including Rosie and Tommy.
Right. And, well, was it Ryan Donaldson or was that Tommy Wiseau?
No, it was Donaldson. Yeah.
Well, I love his Tommy Wiseau impression.
Oh, I know, I know.
And he didn't pick Woods.
I know, and that would have actually made it very interesting.
Right.
Yeah, this was definitely a British Open that the view quality on this one was pretty high because whether, you know, you're pro Tiger, anti Tiger, whether you're just following it for the Power Trip bet, whatever reason you had, there was lots of storylines, especially on Sunday when it was just a log jam at the top. And, you know, it looked for a while like it was going to end up being a three-way tie, which I did the math on that, and it would have meant each one would have won $53.33. So that would have been interesting to divide up if they had done that. But in the end, it was Parrish and Eric Nordquist that ended up splitting the winnings. So they each win $90. Parrish, of course, had McIlroy, and Justin Rose birdied 18, and that pulled Nordo into a tie for at -6 with Parrish. So,
yeah, and they had the first two picks, didn't they?
They did. They nailed the first two right off the bat, and then it looked like Spieth was going to be in it all the way for Lawyer Lambert, and then he really wilted in that last round.
Yeah, he started the day at 8 or 9 under.
I think it was 9. Yeah.
Yeah. That was incredible.
And then finish at -4, so +5 on the day. If he had just, you know, just gone +1 or +2, he'd have been right there. But
right.
So yeah, fun tournament, good bet. Lots of, like I said, I was surprised that, you know, Rosie didn't call in or Tommy didn't try to get in on Thursday morning after they had already started. He would have probably had to take somebody that hadn't started yet. But that was a. It was a very good British Open, so that was the one and only bet of the week, and currently no other open bets, so I guess we can move on to the quotes.
They're memorable, they're timeless, they'll probably get meat sauce fired. It's time for the quotes of the week.
All right, and the quotes of the week is going to have a little different style this week. kind of doing a little tribute to Pirate Week last week, and we're going to do the top Chris Hockey pirate slash dad jokes. We didn't really know that it was going to be basically a pirate slash dad joke stand-up comedy routine.
I know. I just thought
for the first segment all week, but I think it was a good surprise for the listener.
Absolutely. I mean, I just thought it was going to be a normal show. They'd have their normal 5:30 barn stories or whatever they came up with, and nope, turned into stand-up hour.
Yeah, and I think everybody won.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, we will start with number three. This is from Thursday's show.
I have a question for you, Tommy Olsen.
What's that?
Have you ever heard of the old pirate Santa Claus?
No.
Do you know why pirate Santa Claus has such a huge sack?
Why?
Because he only comes once a year.
My God.
I know, it's a pirate joke.
And I love that Tommy was a part of it too.
Oh yeah, he could barely spit out the Y.
Right. Oh, it kind of goes back to all the jokes that week. I just found myself gut laughing at that first segment, maybe just because I was listening to it so early in the morning, but man.
Well, and I think what plays into it for me, too, was, whether he liked it or hated it, just the way Corey was just, he made it dreadful from day one. He was just like, oh, my God, I can't wait for this week to be over. The segment's almost over. It was just, his constant commentary about how much he was hating the whole pirate talk was just, it added so much to it.
Yeah. All right. And coming in at number two was also from, I think this was 30 seconds apart from number three.
It was exactly 30 seconds apart.
Recess, can I ask you your question?
Of course.
Does ye shower after sex?
Does he shower? He could have just.
Does ye shower after sex, Recess?
Sure. Yes.
Then I wish you'd go have sex.
I had to leave all the laughs in there.
Right. Yeah. I thought that was funny because I think Corey went on and said that was the first one that he thought was actually funny of the week.
Oh, yeah.
After just subbing in pirate for, pirate wife or pirate Santa Claus,
Right.
He thought that was pretty clever, and that he was going to use that one.
Yeah, that was probably my personal favorite. That totally caught me out. I didn't know which way he was going with the punchline, and I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. And then coming in at number one was from Friday's show.
Can I ask you a question, Corey?
Yes.
You remember when you told me about the difference between your private and a bonus check?
Of course I remember.
You remember that? This one's really dirty. I'm kind of questioning whether I should tell you the punchline.
Yes, man. It's 5.
All right, I'll do it. But please recognize I'm a pirate and I can't help myself.
Pirates have no sense.
We have no sense of boundaries at all. That's why we're pirates. We just go everywhere. The difference, Corey told me, between his private and a bonus check is his wife's always willing to blow his bonus.
Oh, my.
And you were live for that one, Chuck.
I was, yeah. I was front. It was so funny because Chris, we were right below the big scoreboard there in the walkway, and Chris, during that 5:30 segment, he had on no shoes, of course. He just had on his little pirate socks, and he was walking, and he was so far away. He was a good 100-150 yards down the concourse, telling these jokes and everything. And I don't know if he thought he'd crack up if he looked at the audience or everybody else, but he was everybody's leaning to look way down the concourse to see Chris. But
yeah, he always likes to do the Donahue impression and walk around, get his steps in.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think he sat down the whole time he had the pirate outfit on. So, or the, during the, while he was talking like a pirate, then he sat later in the show, of course. But so what, overall, what were your thoughts on Pirate Week?
I really enjoyed it. Like I said, maybe it was just because it was the first segment of the of the day, and it was really early, but I just caught myself gut laughing almost the whole time. And you know, both of their pirate impressions were pretty awful.
Oh, terrible.
AJ was like some pirate Frenchman.
Oh yeah.
And you know, Hockey went between channeling a little Grandma Cooter and Irish Hockey, and it was very entertaining.
Oh, definitely.
I'm glad it was only for one segment a day, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was it made it a lot better, because if they had made, because I thought, you know, well, maybe they should have done it where they talk like a pirate for one entire show. But yeah, I think as a listener, that would have gotten, it would have lost its charm. Whereas like because sometimes I won't wake up until like, you know, 6 o'clock or so. It depends on the day. And I set my alarm every day at 5:30 because I could not. That was like must listen radio. It's like I have to hear this live. So,
you know, Corey was getting after AJ and stuff for, because he missed the one day of dressing like a pirate because his wife had his car or something in his
right.
coat and all that pirate gear was there. And then Monday, you know, he kind of got after him for, you know, showing up in a Vikings polo and, you know, not really, you know, committing to the bit and paying off his debt. But and then leave it to AJ to come back with all the, well, you had to with the hair bet. He would have to like post his pictures every day and give updates on his hair. And,
yep.
You know, there's kind of a little feud there, but
right. Yeah. AJ kind of did mail it in on Monday, but I think he fulfilled it. And I even like, they did the pirate pictures down on the street after the show. And I went down there and Periscoped that. And it was kind of funny. Cause there were, I think most of the people that showed up for pictures like knew about it or knew the bit, and they were just coming from offices in and around the stadium to get pictures taken. But it seemed like there were at least a few people that just happened to randomly be walking by, and they're like, "Hey, what's this?" And so they'd hop in and get a picture with Chris and AJ. And it was so funny because like the whole time Chris and AJ were like, "Man, 10:01, these earrings are coming out." They did like right at 10:01, like they both popped their earrings immediately. So. All right, well, that wraps up Pirate Week. We will move on to your thoughts and the Tommy Olsen interview.
It's time for the weekly segment of Your Thoughts, copyright Dark Star. And now, here comes another award-winning Bets and Quotes interview.
That was a hoax, right?
Featuring Tommy Olsen.
All right, welcome to our interview with Tommy Olsen. Welcome to the podcast, Tommy. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. Just pulled over on 17, just ready for this interview, just talking to you guys. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Beautiful. It's great to have you on. I know David, my co-host, when we first brought up the idea of, you know, having a segment where we talked about, you know, different things Tommy has to say on the Power Trip, I said, you know, what do you think about, you know, talking about some of the things that Tommy brings up on the Power Trip? And his response was, I F-word love Tommy Olsen.
Oh, you guys are too nice, but I appreciate it, man. I mean, those guys are the best guys ever. So I just love going on there. And well, thanks for listening. I guess I listen to them every day too. I podcast every show. So you guys are the best.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cause I always wonder like the people that are on there, like, you know, once or twice a week, if they like listen to the whole thing or not. So that's awesome. So we're going to go back to your, obviously you were offensive lineman for the Gophers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, though, you know, in doing a little bit of research, I realized not only were you an offensive lineman for the Gophers, you were also a kick returner for the Gophers.
That's right.
Talk about your three kick returns.
Those are the glory days, man. I actually had six kick returns to my name.
Six.
So my freshman year, that was it was at USC. I was a true freshman, and they kicked a squib kick to me, and I had one for like 20 yards, and it was the coolest thing ever at the Coliseum. Get my name called out. It was so cool.
Nice.
And then I had two more against Miami of Ohio that year, and then the next year they squibbed to me three times at Michigan. So I have a total of six kick returns to my name. Pretty cool claim to fame. Yeah, you guys did some deep diving for that. That's pretty cool. Thanks for finding that. I love people here. About that. Those are my athletic days. It's great.
So, you know, obviously you didn't score on any of the six of those, but...
No. So definitely not.
When you get back to the sidelines, do, like, you yell at the return team that, like, they didn't pick up their blocks?
No, definitely not, because I have to go out there the next play and block for the whole team. So, like, that's the last thing I want to do is make fun of people for not blocking, because I'm missing every other block when I'm out there, so it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, well, no, those are the best times, man. At the big house, kick return is probably one of the coolest things I've ever done.
Tommy, weren't you a double blue stripe guy, though?
No, boy. You guys heard it on Monday, huh? Yeah, my best friend, Tony Hill, he meets Chris Hockey, and he decides to tell him all my old stories. And, yeah, I was a good 300, or not 300, but I was a good 220 back in, like, sixth grade. Couldn't even pick up a fumble, and it was just so embarrassing. Just couldn't even handle it. Like, it was terrible. My dad felt bad for me. Everyone just felt bad for me. But it was fun to play. Like, I wouldn't go back for anything. Like, I loved it. But still, it was just embarrassing not to be able to pick up a ball.
The funniest part about what they were talking about the other day was that, what did you do to Josiah a bit?
Oh, my. Yeah. So, there's this Josiah Prosser. It was our freshman year. And... so it was like our third practice ever being in high school. So we're all freshmen. So they thought it was in eighth grade, but I'll go in more detail on Thursday when I go in. But yeah, it was freshman year, and there's this kid named Josiah Prosser, and he didn't want to play. He was a big guy, but his dad just made him play. And we went out there, and I was trying to make the varsity team as a freshman. That was our first practice in full pads. And they lined us up against each other just because we were like – the biggest guys, and it long story short, it just didn't go good for Josiah, and I had like I put him on his back like probably 10 times in a row, like Michael Orr stuff, like really bad.
Nice.
Like too far, like mean, and like I feel bad about it still to this day. And then my friend Tone, he's like the only guy that knows about that story. I have to tell Hockey, and then Hockey tells the world about it, and I'm like, oh god, here we go.
Yeah, I don't
all
think
right
there's
Jesus.
Not too many secrets when you're talking to Chris, apparently. So.
No, not at all. Definitely not. The greatest guy, though. He's the same with me. I tell the world everything, so it doesn't really matter.
So you kind of bounced around the offensive line when you were with the Gophers. Like, you kind of played guard your first couple of years, and then you eventually mm-hmm. moved to center, and then started, of course, all the games as a senior. Did you kind of envision yourself wanting to play center the whole time, or is that just the position you were better at? Like, did you have a preference on the line, or is it just center was your natural fit?
You know, as a true freshman, so I was doing special teams for like my first five games, and then a couple injuries happened, and then I started about four or five, six games, I can't really remember, as a freshman at the U at left guard. And then I thought, all right, I'll just stay at left guard the rest of my career. I was totally fine with that. I never really wanted to play center, because I couldn't snap the ball. Like, it was really hard for me to snap it for some reason. I didn't really know why, but I just was so bad at snapping and just getting going to block someone. So my year, I ended up getting hurt the fourth game against Syracuse, and I got hurt. I tore some ligament in my foot, and then I had to sit out, and I played the last two games and played really bad because I was hurt and didn't really work. Right. And then my junior year, John Christensen, he was a center. And the spring ball before my junior year, they said, Tom, if you want to start playing again, you're going to have to move to center. So then I moved to center. And, yeah, it was a grind to go to center because I was just so bad at snapping the ball. I would snap it over Mitch's head all the time. But then John Christensen snaps both his bones and his leg, and I end up moving to center. And then at the Indiana game when we won on the road at Indiana, and ever since then I played center, and like it was great. And I sprinkled in a tackle too a little bit when my brother went down, so I got to legit say I played in a Big Ten game at all three of the positions on the O-line, and it's pretty cool. Like, it was the best times of my life, but I really did find myself being most comfortable at center. My senior year was the best, with Mitch just going under me every play, as bad as that sounds, I guess. But
nice soft hands.
I shouldn't say it that way. Yeah, right. But no, man, I shouldn't have said that one. But yeah, literally, like, he was the best guy ever, and like best times of my life. And I really did feel the most comfortable at center. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you weren't just a this is something I didn't realize, you know, again, doing my research, but you're not just, you know, the big jock or whatever. You were actually academic all Big Ten your sophomore, junior, and senior years. So on one hand, I could say that's awesome and congratulations. But on the other hand, I could ask you, what the hell happened your freshman year?
Right, exactly. Like, probably just trying to, you know, explore in campus. Just didn't really care about school. Thought I was still the big stud, getting recruited in, didn't have to go to school or anything. But the one cool thing I can always say that I can hang my hand on, I never missed a college class ever. As crazy as that sounds, I never skipped one. Yeah, wow. And like, not a lot of people can say that, so I feel pretty good saying that. So, like, I think that had a lot to do with earning the old three-time all-academic Big Ten. And the tutors they have there for you, like, freshman, sophomore year, they set you up, and then if you have above, like, a 3.2 GPA going into your sophomore year, you don't have to have tutors anymore. So, like, that was the goal, you know? So, like, you didn't want to have tutor sessions so you could have free time at night. So, like, everyone would grind to get above a 3.2, and then if you got, like, checked out of tutoring, then you wouldn't have tutoring anymore, and then you could go out and have just a normal college life at night. So, like, that was the goal, and then you stayed above a 3.2. It was great. So, like, that was, like, the hidden incentive to get up there. So that's, like, why we all did it. But, yeah, it ended up working out with those three-time academic All-Big Ten. And, man, you guys really did look into the research. Not a lot of people know that stuff, man. That's great. You're making me feel good, living the glory days, acting like I'm smart. God, that's great. Great. Thanks a lot for looking into that.
Well, hey, if you're above a 3.2, you deserve a little accolade or whatever. It's, it's funny.
I appreciate it.
Most of the athletes I knew in college, too, of course, I went to Tulsa. Most of the athletes I knew were actually, you know, they'd go to class and they were pretty smart and everything. So, you know, I guess it just depends on the school or whatever, but, you know, it's
right.
I think a lot of athletes get a bad rap because, you know, you get some bad apples or a few bad examples or whatever.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And, you know, I think most guys, you know, get it, and that's
for
a major,
sure.
That's a major credit to you.
Well thanks a lot.
The one thing I never did find is what was your major in?
I was actually communications media studies. So
oh.
The reason I ever got on the power trip, I don't know if you guys even remember the story. So
I don't.
I was in, it was communications media studies, and like Brock Rereen was on there before me. And right. he would come on once a week and talk about like the opponent we were going to go in. So it was a lot more serious than when I would go in, and they would like break down film and stuff. And like, but then they'd obviously do the power trip, and they'd actually warm him up a little bit, and he'd warm up. But and then one day Brock Rereen graduated with my brother. So they're like, all right, we got to send someone else in there for the morning show just to talk about the spring game. And it was my junior year going to be a senior. And they're like, Tom, you're a communication study major, media studies. And like, yeah, would you ever want to think about doing it? I was like, all right, let's do it. So, I mean, I remember going in, and I was driving in with Justine, our PR person for the Ghosts, and I was talking to her. I was like, I'm so nervous. I don't know what they're going to ask me about the spring game. I don't know if they're going to ask me about, like, all our offense, all our plays, and all this stuff. I don't know what to say. I remember calling my dad, going up the elevator, saying, Dad, what do I tell these guys? I don't know what I'm going to tell them. Like, I'm so scared to go on here. I don't know what to say. This can be all serious. It's an interview on the radio. I've never been on the radio before. And then I get on there, and it's Hockey Sauce. Justin Guard's on there, too.
Oh, yeah.
And Corey. And we're just talking. And then, like, after two segments, I'm singing Garth Brooks, Friends in Low Places. I'm like, man, this is the best thing in the world. Like, I just literally, after that day, I was just obsessed with that show, and I was obsessed with all these guys. Because I didn't listen before. I had no idea what the power trip was.
Wow.
And ever since that day, I became the biggest Rube ever, and I fell in love with all those guys. And I've been on for, like, what, 4.5 years now. It's been the best time of my life, and I'm so thankful to be on there with those guys.
Well, I think it's pretty easy to say that everyone else has fallen in love with you, and, you know, really, really appreciate.
Thanks, man.
You know, at least every Thursday, getting to listen to you.
Yeah, well, thanks, man.
That is an awesome story. It was like, yeah, because I can picture like the nervous Tommy Olsen and stuff. And like, you're right, because they used to, like, you know, they would just have guys on, like,
right.
Who was the punter from Green Bay that, like, he was on?
That
one...
was Pete Martell. He was gonna replace me.
Yeah,
that was,
they had him on.
That was when I was finding my big boy job. Remember that? I took some time off, and and then I couldn't leave. These guys at the back. So,
it was like one show, and then he was gone.
Yeah, it did take me a while though to warm up. You guys, I like my first 2 years on there, I was pretty tame. I wouldn't really talk about much, and then I went to Vegas for the first time, and it all went south after that. It got pretty bad, but
it is funny because like a lot of times when people would be on there, and I guess this is a good time to transition over to the power trip. Like when people would be on there, you know, I never had a sense like, you know, they were never like, oh, Tommy's going to be our regular Thursday morning guy from here on out or whatever. You know, it's okay. Here's a random, like McDermott's on now, you know, and it's like, okay, is McDermott going to be on for, you know, half a season, a year, forever? You know, you just don't know. And so, like, I remember the first few times you were on, it was just kind of like, well, okay, you know, talking about football and whatever. Yeah. It's like, it's just one of those things where it's like when you're dating someone or whatever, you're just trying, okay, what's this person about? And trying to figure them out. And where it really clicked with you is when I found out that you just had the gambling itch like nobody. So
exactly.
I was like, oh, yeah, Tommy's my guy. So I remember your first trip to Vegas, that's when you absolutely lost every dime you had, right?
I don't like to talk about it, but yeah. yeah, we did. That was rough, man. And yeah, I was, well, and then Carly Applin at the time, she was single, and she goes, yeah, here's some tequila shots. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And I'm just right out of college. I'm like, this is the best thing in the world. Let's go. All right, let's go gamble. Just spreading my money all across the roulette table, obviously losing the whole time. And then I play blackjack, go terrible. It was awful. But then, like, looking back, and then they threw me on air, and I shouldn't have been talking. And then that's kind of like when they picked at my brain and made me open up the most. And ever since then, like, that was definitely the turning point when, like, I was like, who cares? Let's go have a good time. And that was my first Vegas trip, first time really gambling hard. And I had to learn the hard way. You know, you guys know what it is. Like, coming home on Sunday from Vegas is one of the worst feelings in the world when you look at your bank account. You're like, oh boy, here we go. This is not good.
But when you're like Chris and you hit your ATM limit and
Oh yeah. Yeah, I gotta go scan the old thumb. Not good. That's a demoralizing feeling. It's awful. The old ATM says too many max outs, gotta use your thumb. End up paying like 40 or 50%. Just awful. Terrible. But it's well worth it when you're there, just to have a little more cash. It's great.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm like, I think that's why I'm such an addict with the sports gambling, because it's like, okay, I put my money down, and then I've got like 2.5 hours to let this burn, as opposed to like a blackjack table. It's like your whole budget can be gone in 30 minutes. So.
Oh, it's the worst. You go to the ATM, you get 200 out, put it all on red 23, wait for it to roll, and you just lose. It's terrible. It's terrible. And then you're with Dob, he's looking at you saying, hey, put it on red 23. I go, all right, and I put it on there and lose it all. It's terrible. But yeah, best times ever. Yeah, so I'm definitely gonna do the sports betting when we go back out there, for sure.
Absolutely.
I gotta start doing that better.
Well, last year was the first time that I made it out there, and I was devastated, because like, you weren't there, Creasel wasn't there. It was like nobody. Rosie was about the only guy that went out there. It was like, I was like, where is everybody? You know, but yeah, hopefully we'll all be out there again next year. This year,
we're already putting it on the calendar, and I think I'm bringing Old Bay out and make a radio debut out there in Vegas. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully she doesn't get too nervous. She doesn't want to be on the mic, but we'll force her up there.
That'll work. So I was going to kind of go over some of your highlights since you've been on The Fan.
Sure.
So like, one of the things, you know, just right off the bat, kind of still transitioning from football a little bit, is I would contend that you are the best ex-football player that's on the power trip. Would you agree with that statement?
No, they have Lever on there.
Well, Lever blew the 09 championship.
Come on, don't say that. No, not at all. If you could have the worst guy of playing football ever on there, maybe me. Like, I'll take that. That's totally fine.
Oh,
like,
no,
it doesn't matter to me at all.
No,
I'm just happy I got to play at the U. That was my goal, so whatever.
That's got to be the superstar Mike Norris and Kevin McDermott, because they're long snappers. That doesn't count.
No, come on, don't say that. Those guys are all play in the league, man. That's what they got to do. I called it right after college, and now just having a good time with big boy job and just going on there every Thursday, man. It's great.
Well, I'll put a little asterisk next to that where I had written down that you're the best football player in the history of the Pirates. So.
Well, hey, I really appreciate it. I tell you what, I'd argue I had the most fun playing football. I loved it. That was the best time of my life. So if you want to say that's good enough for me.
All right. And since, you know, I'm Mr. Power Trip Bets and everything, I had to go back in the archives. And do you remember what your first bet on the Power Trip was?
I think it was before you were around, Mr. Power Trip. I'm not even kidding. Like, okay. I don't want to bring this up, but I've always been – it's been itching at me to bring it up. But I haven't had the opportunity to
spill,
bring it up.
Spill your guts, Tommy.
Yeah, it was like 3 years ago in the British Open, and – I forgot. I picked the winner. I know I picked the winner, and we all put 40 down. And then I had my break or whatever going to the big boy job. Remember, I took like 2.5-3 months off?
Yep.
And I had the gap in there, and I won, and I never came back on. And I never got paid from anyone, and I've never called out anyone. And I feel so bad, and I don't know how to bring it up, but this feels like a good platform to say it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so I don't remember the official one that was written on Power Trip Bets. Could you help me out with it?
The first one that I had you down for was the Cordarrelle Patterson over under 2.5 touchdowns for the season.
Don't even. I remember it like it was yesterday. We all remember that punt return.
I know.
He had the punter to beat.
Yep, I thought he
and
had.
And he gets tripped up by the punter.
I mean, because I'm super neutral. Like, you know, being Power Trip Bets, it's like I'm usually super neutral. It's just like I don't really care who wins or whatever. I was 100% pulling for you to win that bet.
God, you're a good guy. Such a good guy.
And no, well, and especially because it's with Corey too.
Exactly.
Come on.
I made a bet with. Do you know the reason? Back when I was like a year and a half, maybe 2 years into it. I was like, all right, I gotta make a season long bet just so I can. Guaranteed I'll be here for at least 12 more weeks. Like that was my thinking in my head. And I was like, God, these guys are great guys. So I just kept buying time and making these bets. That was when I used my dad's money, too. You remember that?
Oh,
my
yeah.
Dad
was
oh,
so
yes.
Mad at me.
So I had to cut the grass a lot more, do all these chores and stuff. Still got to cut the grass, though. Still living at home. So that's a whole nother thing. But, yeah. Honestly, yeah, God, I don't even want to talk about that bet. that still makes me mad.
Well, we'll go on to greener pastures because I also was going to see now the British Open thing is one thing, and actually you gave me a great clickbait option for this podcast. I think when I post it, I'm going to say find out how the Power Trip screwed Tommy Olsen out of money.
No.
That would be the perfect way to bring it up. But
don't say that.
The first bet that I had recorded you winning was, do you remember that?
Well, I haven't won much, I'll tell you that. I had one big hit with the $600 recently. But the first bet I ever won, was it when LeBron won?
Absolutely.
Against Corey?
The
Cavs
bet. Yes.
Best time of my life, man. LeBron, for now I'm the biggest Lakers fan of all time. Just diehard Lakers fan. Here we go. But, I still remember when LeBron won, when he had that block. It was the best night of my life. And I jumped up with my brother, obviously had a couple, 4, 5, 7 cocktails down. We're drinking, watching the game, jump up, celebrate so hard. Like I jumped, like I remember like sweating. I was celebrating so hard. It was the best night ever. And then I had money coming in too. First bet I ever won. It was the best night ever.
Oh, that's
I love that.
And then didn't Tommy, you initiated that bet before the season started with Corey. You said, "I'll take the Cavs, you take the field."
Yeah,
I think that's how it started.
So then, really, Corey's been stealing your idea of the "I'll take the Warriors, you take the field."
Yeah, that is. Yeah, and then he does.
If that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, the old core versus four bit too. I won that one this year too.
You did.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of hot with basketball. I'm having to keep the basketball betting. It's kind of nice.
The other thing too that's memorable about that the Cleveland win was the fact that was also the series that Rosie conceded after two games because he was with you. Warriors win games 1 and 2, and Rosie concedes, and they come back and win.
Yeah, we were on there together. I remember that we made the bets together. I think I started it, and then Rosie's like, "Yeah, I'll do it with you, Tom." And then we ended up doing it, and then he did the old Seinfeld bit. I remember that. Yeah. And he went out, and then they ended up winning. Best win of my life. Definitely my best bet of my life, for sure.
And I definitely have you to thank for, because you mentioned the core versus four. Like, I've told David before that, I'm just like, I just post the bet and it's just like, oh, Cavs versus the field or whatever. I don't put much artistic creativity into it. But it's like you coming up with the core versus four. That was brilliant. I'm like, that's my favorite bet now.
I don't know how that even came. Maybe I just luckily said it. I don't know how that happened, but yeah, that's my favorite bet of the year. I'm gonna take that every year. I won it this year. I'm gonna do it next year too. You gotta take it. I think it's a good bet for me.
Now, I have an audio clip for you here that I'm gonna play.
Okay. Oh boy. All right, let's hear it.
This is from when you made the core versus the four bet.
Great. Let's hear it. That's
from earlier this year.
You can pick any four teams you want. I'll take the rest of the field. You in?
Trying to swing a little something this year. Such who knows board this year. It's kind of even over. There's no clear cut favorite or whatever. Can we make it five or six teams? No. All right, let's make it four.
Is so brilliant. We've laughed about that. It's like you would have taken that bet if Corey would have given you one team because you were just itching to bet.
100%. I have a gambling problem. Two, literally, I can't argue with anyone. And then Corey's the best arguer of all time. And I can't even get a word in. And then I'm as is. It's his show. I'm like, okay, I can't argue with him on here. Okay, that sounds good. And I got all nervous. Like, all right, cool, that's fine. But yeah, that clip still makes me laugh. I love that. Those guys are the best. And hey. We ended up beating them too, so it all worked out.
Well, that's what I was gonna say.
Nova, baby.
You only needed mm-hmm. one team. Your first team got it for you. So
yeah, it went great. Got Nova. It was perfect. What did I say? I think I got like $600 that week.
Yeah, because you're
that
actually
great.
You're the bet leader for 2018 so far. Because last year you kind of came in last place, but you have totally redeemed yourself this year.
Totally redeemed yourself. Yeah,
you are the money leader right now. And Parrish is second. It's like all the old school people like Libra, Rosie, and Corey. They're usually at the top. They're not having the best years. It's like you and Parrish this year. So.
I gotta bet wisely from here on out, but I won't.
Well,
I'll take the dumbest bets ever.
Well, it's football season, right? So it's like you gotta just that's when the betting really seems to heat up is during football season. So.
Exactly, and then they know if they take any Gof bet, any Gophers bet, I'm taking the Gof. So it's gonna go. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. We'll do head up bets against the Gofs, but we'll see. Hopefully, I can ride this out to the end of the year.
Yeah. So one of the other major accomplishments in your KFAN career is in 2017, you won the Preposterous Statement Tournament with your comparison. Because basically you said that if Leidner played at was there instead of Carson Wentz, that he would have been drafted in the first round, if I have that right.
Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty much what I said. I said maybe – I said if Mitch would have gone to NDS – you that they would be comparable, and I think Mitch would go in the first round as well. And I said that, and I didn't know how big of repercussions I'd have from that. I still believe it, and I'll never back down to the day that I die saying that I think Mitch is just as comparable as Carson Wentz, and everyone still thinks I'm crazy about it, but I know it. And then number two, who knows that I was going to make the front page of the Fargo Press the next day in their sports section, and I remember people tweeting at me about it. I've never had more Twitter activity. I was like, I remember I felt so bad. I wanted to tweet out saying I'm sorry. I didn't know what to do. I've never had negative of stuff. I didn't know how to handle it. I was actually sad, and I was asking my dad and my brother, what should I say? I don't know what to do. And then
seriously,
my brother's just like, yeah, it doesn't even matter.
People were that mean to you?
Well, just saying, ripping, how bad of sports mind I have and, how dumb of take that is and, really, cutting me deep. I was like, oh, everyone, relax. I'm just talking. I probably just got caught up in the moment, said something dumb. Just everyone relax. It's totally fine. But, it got a little heated for a while, but whatever. It ended up, now I won the process of statement, so I'll take it. That'll I actually loved doing that because I got to win that Frosty Statement, so it worked out pretty good.
That's awesome. Like, yeah, it's just, I mean, to me, it was just something funny. You know, it's like, yeah, whatever. It's like, I don't know. I guess that's Twitter
right.
for you, because people.
That's what I thought too.
People just lose their exactly. minds on Twitter.
Well, and Wentz right. is their Jesus up there in Fargo.
Yeah.
Well,
and yeah, no offense to Bison fans. I don't know who listens to the podcast, but old Fargo, if you bring up anything about NDSU, they get a little sensitive, and they're very protective up there. And obviously, I'm not the biggest Bison fan, so we don't need to go down that road again. But yeah, it was it got a little bad when I said that. Definitely.
Well, I do like that you stand by it, though, because I think Gorg has eventually backed off of his horses lose hundreds of pounds every single
right,
race. So.
Right, right.
I like somebody
honestly.
That wins it and sticks to it, so that's fantastic. 100%.
Yeah, still, definitely. Mitch is my guy, definitely, for sure, 100% still believe in it.
So do you stay in touch with, like, I'm sure you do, but, like, you know, how often do you see guys like Mitch or some of your old ex-teammates? Do you guys hang out a lot during the summers, or has everybody got their big boy jobs? Kind of
you know, everyone does get pretty busy with the old big boy jobs now, but we all went to Jared Kill's Epilepsy Foundation in Chicago a couple weeks ago, and it was in Chicago. It was awesome to see everyone. I had such a good time talking to everyone, and, like, Mitch was there, Matt Leidner. The list goes on. Like every guy that ever played for Kill was there. It was so awesome. And just got to talk to everyone. It was super fun to connect with everyone. And Mitch and I text probably once every 2 weeks just to catch up, make sure everything's going good. And then I actually slept over at Matt Leidner. He lives up in Roseville. He works at Polaris. So Mitch's younger brother. So was up there last week for work and just going great. And he's doing awesome. Got a new girlfriend, loving life. So
fun.
Yeah. Long story short, I stay connected with a lot of the guys. It's great.
Good deal. So, David, do you want to bring up something that happened on the power trip like a couple of weeks ago?
A little back to front controversy.
Oh boy. Yeah, this one's bad. Guys, why do we have to go down?
It went viral. I mean,
yeah,
everybody was talking about it.
Hey, trust me. I think of me at work at my big boy job. Everyone's looking at me like, what are you talking about, man? Like, are you really talking about what I think you're talking about? And then old Bay's parents looking at me like, what? And like, it's just, I clearly just get caught up in the moment and power trip. But like, that's the truth. We've always talked about it, how you wipe. Like, we all talk about it. And then all the guys that had my back, how the way I wipe, the old back to front, everyone texted me just saying how I had my back. But, yeah, it was one of those debates we always got into, and I knew it would kind of be a good topic. It was the old 720 segment on the power trip. We didn't really have anything planned, and I was like, I think I got an opportunity to say something here. So I brought it up, and then I love Lieber. Lieberman, he always has a solid take on everything.
Yep.
And then if you go back and listen to it, like, Lieber will just totally go off about it.
Oh, yeah.
We got, like, in-depth off-air about it, too. So, yeah, it was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's one of those debates that always happen. And it happened in the locker room, and then, yeah, just it's been carrying on forever.
That is awesome. Because I thought it was amazing, too, like, when AJ put up the poll and it ended up being, like, 60-40. I was like, I didn't realize 40% of the people were back to front.
I know, man. I didn't even know it was like, I always just thought everyone did it my way. And then one day I forgot how it even got brought up in the locker room. I swear Mitch and I were just hanging out, like, in our towels, and we were just joking around. We're all in a good mood after a good practice, and we just brought it up. I probably brought it up somehow. I don't even remember, but yeah. And it just kind of happened ever since. Like, yeah, we just talk about it all the time. It's, yeah, one of those things that just kind of took off, I guess. I don't really know other way to put it.
Well, that's definitely a top five moment of the year on a power trip. There's no doubt about it.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
but I think that's
unintentionally what happened.
But I think that's what we love about you on the show. Just like last week, talking about the, you know, your favorite gas station pickup stuff.
Oh.
Like
that took off too.
Everyone clicks to it, and everyone's, you know, giving their thoughts right away on Twitter. You come up with, like, good fun ideas. I love it.
Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. I don't, like, well, you guys know how it is. What's better than going to a gas station before you go on a road trip. Oh, like, I think everyone relates to that. Like, when you know you can just have whatever, because, yeah, sure, you've been working out a little bit before, going on a little road trip, trying to look tight before you take your shirt off at, like, summer vacation. We've all been there. Oh, we all know. And then you walk down the old candy aisle, you're like, oh, boy, this is not good.
Oh, yeah.
You're looking around and just start literally shaking and looking at candy. I'm like, I gotta get it. I don't know what else to do. And then you grab it, and then you need a pop, and then, yeah, it just kind of happened. I don't even know how I thought of it, but, yeah, like, that. I've never got more Twitter, like, mentions or anything from anything I've ever brought up other than that gas station thing. And I thought it was nothing. I thought I just brought it up on air, but, yeah, like, that, I don't know how that even came about, but, yeah. I'd say and it turned out to be great.
Everybody was just chomping at the bit to chime in with their take. It was just like everybody's like, oh no, this and this, and it's like
like everyone was arguing who thought their snack was better. I'm like, I don't know. I'm fine with all of them. I'll eat anything, so it's totally fine.
Well, and the other thing too is, like, we love how, like, the Tommy's Notes time, because sometimes you guys run out of time and, like, you don't have time to get to Tommy's Notes, but what I love about it is, like, it started out as kind of like, well, you know, these are kind of some of the things I would have added to the, you know, if I had been on during that segment, here's my opinion on topic A. And it's kind of evolved into, here's just my random thoughts that I'm going to bring up on the show.
Honestly, all it is. It's like literally these random thoughts I have when I'm driving for work. That's all it is. And then I just throw it together. And then whenever I podcast too, I actually go to my notes section and write it down. But, yeah, I don't even know how that happened, but
that's fantastic.
I actually do like doing that, because then it actually gives me something to talk about when I go in.
Well, and the topics are great. I mean, they're just, like, very talkable or whatever topics. Of course, a lot of them are just like, hey, this show is fire, or this is lit, or
whatever. 50 Cent whales.
Yeah, you guys brought up rap and it wails. Like, anything like that. Absolutely. You guys are saying Drake sucks, but he wails. Yeah, stuff like that, 100%.
So then Carly tried to steal your bit.
Oh, right. Hey, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was saying. But, yeah, she's absolutely stunning. So, like, I'm like, go ahead, take it. I won't ever come on again. You can just take it. It doesn't matter.
She'll start doing Carly's notes, and you'll just be writing her material for her.
Yeah, it's fine. Anything I can get, yeah. And then how about her saying she's attracted to me, and I would, quote, unquote, I'd hit?
I quoted that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that. And then, too. Literally, I remember stopping the car, pulling over, and calling my brother, and I said, Ed, did you just listen to what Carly said? And then, like, I thought it was, like, I'm not kidding, it made my summer. I never had more confidence ever. I felt like Jordan Belfort. Like, I felt like the coolest guy in the world. Like, oh, unbelievable.
Well, thank God that Ed didn't take that as, like, a silent hint to go bump off Jason, so...
Exactly. No, Ed, that's the thing about Ed. He's a slayer. So, like, that's the worst part. Like, he is. He's just the best-looking guy in the world. That's what – hey, I'll give you a little preview of a note I'm going to give tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Because you guys – did you guys hear the podcast today?
Yeah.
And they said that Meat Sauce got a girlfriend now.
Yes.
So, I wrote a note down if we want to do Eddie, because Eddie's single. So, my brother's single. Yeah. So, I was thinking maybe we could sign up Eddie, and he could be the most eligible bachelor in Minnesota. So we could try to get that done. So that's going to be a note I'm going to bring up tomorrow. So a little preview on the old podcast. So
that would be brilliant.
Or Thursday. Yeah, sorry, mixed up. But yeah, 2 days from now. So
yeah, that would absolutely be perfect, because it'd be somebody, you know, related to the show. So we keep tabs.
Right. Because
David is married. So if it, you know, otherwise David would be somebody, but Ed, that would be perfect.
That's awesome. we'll get Ollie on there. Hopefully get a date. It'd be great. It'd be fun.
So do a lot of your coworkers at the Big Boy job, did they listen to the Power Trip before, or have, like, a lot of them started listening since they know you're on there, or what do you kind of deal with there?
Well, actually, like, the people I work with, so I'm in medical sales, so, like, the people I, like, the doctors and nurses and those people, they listen for sure. But, like, I only have a couple reps here in Minnesota, because Minnesota's, like, my territory where I sell.
Uh-huh.
So, like, a couple people know that I'm on Power Trip, and then, like, when we go to, like, meetings and stuff, they ask about, Tom, I heard you're on something. I'm like, yeah, I try to, like, downplay. I don't like to be arrogant or anything. They don't really realize how big the Power Trip is. Like, it's the biggest deal ever, and, like, I try to, like, I just downplay it. I'm like, no, that's nothing. But, like, I've never been so, like, honored to be on something. Like, everything, like, I'm so thankful to be on the Power Trip. I don't even know how I'm still on here. Like, it's, like, the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, even football-related, anything. Like, I think this is so cool to still be on here. Oh, just because they're so good, and I love listening to them. And then it's like, I listen, and then I listen back to myself. I'm like, how am I even on here? I'm more of a, I'm like a bigger Rube than I'm even on there. It's so weird. Like, it's just, it's hard for me to be on there. But yeah, so like with work, though, but it actually kind of helps out with some sales. So it's kind of good. But yeah, I can't, no complaints at all. So like, yes, yeah, sometimes it helps. And yes, but not a lot of coworkers know, but people I work with, like, okay, sell to know about it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I hell yeah, it's definitely an advantage. Like, if I, you know, if I was buying from you or whatever, I'd be like, oh yeah, T.O., man. Like, I want to buy from T.O. Yeah. Even if your stuff sucks, I want to buy from you.
Yeah. So. Exactly. Tom, even though you don't know anything, but yeah, no, honestly, they're the best guys. Like, it does definitely help. So I'm so thankful to be on there. I can't thank Corey and Chris and Paul enough. Like, so happy to be on there.
Well, I know, because I always think about that too, like, just how amazing their show is. Because, like, you know, David, you have something like 7,000 Twitter followers, and all you're doing is like tweeting out different quotes that they said on the show. I've got like 6,000 followers, and all I'm doing is just reporting on whatever bets they're placing. It's like, I mean, it's unbelievable how successful that show is. Like, what does Meat Sauce have now? Like 80,000 followers or something? It's insane. Right.
Yeah. Like, well, then think about me. I have 9,000 followers, and I played football 4 years ago. Why am I even on the show is the real question. And I have no idea how this happens. That's just unbelievable. So whatever they're doing, just keep doing it. I can't even tell you the secret to it. I don't get it. But whatever it is, when that podcast isn't up by 10 a.m., I'm ready to call AJ or Paul and say, hey, what is going on? I need this thing now, like pronto.
That's fantastic. Do you, so you podcast like every single day now?
Oh, I swear I'm one of the first people to download the podcast, like at 9:05. Like, I'm waiting, just nice. Updating that podcast, just waiting, refreshing. I love it. I need it. Like, and then all my friends, that's like all we talk about. Like, yep. And then we just like try to start new bits, like in our chain text. Like, that's what we're doing. Like, that we're obsessed with it. Like, the biggest Rubes ever. And then I'm on there. I don't even know how it happened. And then it's just yeah. Like, dream come. It's as weird as it sounds, like a dream come true being on there, because that's how big a Rubes we are.
That's awesome. We, it's funny too, because like me living in Kansas City, like my coworkers, like they don't listen to the show, but like they know of the show because like I have buttons on my desk for like, oh, good for you. And like the certainly not lady. Like, I have one coworker who absolutely just fell in love with that bit, and he's got that button on his desk, and like every day he's like, certainly not, certainly not.
Right. So that's what happens with us. Like, some bit from like 3 years ago, they'll say like just some random, like certainly not, or like the oh good for you thing. Like, we just, oh, that's like how we text. Like, that's our language now. It's just it's probably the same for you guys. It's just,
oh, absolutely,
that's how we like talk, you know. Like, and then when you're hanging out like on a Friday or Saturday, and then you're just sitting there, and then you have like a one-liner from the show, and then everyone just bursts out laughing because they all heard it that day. It's just like the best thing in the world.
I know, because we'll have like, they have all sorts of food out at work and everything like that. Now, anytime anybody grabs like, you know, a snack in between meals or something, all I can say is, save some room for later, Augusta.
Exactly. Like, anything.
Everything.
Honestly,
becomes a bit.
Anything. It's just so great. I wish they like came out like a button bar app or something. I think it'd be the
coolest
thing.
That's what I thought they should do, or at least put it on the webpage or something like that.
Right, they should. Maybe we should just cut that podcast out and just keep it between us three and do it. That'd be great.
That's right. That's like a $1 million app, right?
It is, man. I'm telling you, people would buy that.
Well, the other thing, the last thing I had in terms of your power or your K-Fan career, is that I have to give you credit for having the second best laugh on K-Fan, because I don't think you're ever going to get the bonuses level, but you've definitely got the laugh nailed.
Well, I appreciate it. It's just, well, you guys, I've been telling you guys this whole time. It's just, if any Rube went in and was just listening, And then he had lucky enough to just sit on a mic for some reason. Who knows why I'm on a mic? And I'm just sitting there, and then I just giggle the whole time because I just pretend I'm talking to my friends about it. And it ends up working great.
And you and Bonus really bonded when you were in Vegas, didn't you?
Yeah, so Bonus, the first night, he's the one that taught me how to do craps and roulette and everything. Like, it ended up working out really well. And, like, he bought me a steak dinner. I can't thank Bonus enough. And that's when I first started doing Tommy Tuesdays. I'd be on there with Bonus all the time. So we got really close initially. And he kind of broke me in and helped me along the way. So, yeah, he's the best.
Yeah, that's one of the things that kind of sucks is that, like, you know, from a listener's standpoint, it's like, you know, like, well, Tommy's on Thursday and Bonus is Wednesday and Creasel's Friday. It's like there's so many times where I'm like, no, I want Bonus and Creasel and Tommy all together, you know? And
right, like that's super what we show. Kind of want, like a little, like, yeah, different show, like, or like a podcast with people on there. Like, maybe we could all come on with you guys. It'd be awesome. Like, it'd be so cool just to do something like that, just you know, to get like some random parent, you know. Maybe I get back with Carly again, or who knows.
There you go. David, you got any other thoughts or questions for Tommy?
I just wanted to bring up Steak Sundays a little bit. That was kind of your first, like, you know, we started to
first
get to know you and your family.
Yeah, it was.
And it was like, you know, do you still practice Steak Sundays in the Olsen household?
It's like a religion.
Yes, we do. It's not as much. There's not as much garlic bread anymore. But trust me, those are the best times ever. So we just do big old ribeyes, and it's the best times ever. But we still do it probably at least 3 out of the 4 Sundays of a month, I would say. And then there's one Sunday where we do either pizza or something like that, just because we're all craving it. It's our cheat night, and we're just eating whatever. But yeah. Literally, yeah, Steak Sundays is still a staple. We still all maul it. Still the best thing in the world. What's better than a ribeye, man? It's the best thing in the world. Then you get a little garlic bread right on the side.
Oh, God.
And we've mastered it. And then you get a little red wine. Get a little wine buzz, and you're eating a steak. Oh, what's better than that, man? It's the best. Oh, grilled asparagus? You think we didn't? It's so great. Yeah, just the best. Like, absolutely the best. It's... Yeah, you're getting me hungry now. I'm still on 17. I got to finish up these two holes, and then I'm going to go probably buy a steak on the way home. It sounds so good.
Beautiful. All right. Well, Tommy, we want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast tonight. It's just even, you know, I know the listeners love you, like, just from all the interactions on Twitter and everything. And it's just been a joy to talk to you for this hour, and just really appreciate your time tonight. So what are you? What's on the Tommy agenda for the rest of the week?
Rest of the week, got the big boy job. Definitely Monday through Friday, trying to get sales by the end of the month. But other than that, this weekend, what do I have this weekend? We're doing a boys golf trip on Hudson, getting a hotel. Looking forward to that. That'll be awesome. Have 2 foursomes going back to back. It'll be great. But yeah, going to be on Power Trip Thursday. Can't wait. Best time of the week all the time. And other than that, just normal week. Just trying to hopefully get a little steak on the way home tonight. Definitely a steak Sunday this weekend. And just, I just want to say, personally, guys, thanks for having me on here. And I listen to every podcast you guys have. Thanks for having a segment about me. Like, it's the coolest thing ever. Thank you so much. I definitely hear it. I send it to all my boys. I'm like, hey guys, look at this. And then like, it's the coolest thing ever. Like, thanks so much for even thinking about me. Like, doesn't even make sense. I still can't comprehend that I'm on with Power Trip. Like, doesn't make sense. I feel like I shouldn't be on there. Like, they're the best guys in the world. So thanks for even thinking about having a segment about me and actually having it. It's the best thing in the world. And thanks for having me on tonight. Like, so much fun. I got to wrap up 17-18. I probably got about 20 minutes left of sunlight. Probably shooting about a 120, but it's fine. Doesn't matter. We're having a good time. But, yeah, me and old Bay are out here on a little date right now, and she's just sitting in the cart being the best girl in the world, just listening right now. So it's all good.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being on, Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you for listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you think we're hideous, please lie.
crabs. Stick around, cause I am coming back.